Good morning. I'm reading from Mark 12, verse 38 to 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Let's start in prayer together. Loving God, we give you thanks for your great love in our lives. We thank you that you are ours and we are yours. And Lord, sometimes things in life just hurt. There are situations that are beyond our control. There are people we love that we lose. There are people we care for that are hurting. But we thank you. We thank you that we are yours and that you love us, you carry us, and you care for us. As we pause this morning to look at loving you and loving others, open our ears to hear your words and our hearts to understand and to love. Amen. I wonder what the most important thing, the most important things are in our lives. Those things that are special to us. If the house was on fire, what would you grab? No doubt, people first. Pets. Wallet or purse. Mobile. Photos. Passport. Personal documents. The black and white framed photo of a great grandparent. A gift from a much loved relative who's long since gone. The external's hard drive, that's the backup of all computers and devices, or at least should be the backup. In 1983, I was living back with my father in Kerry Gully for the Christmas holidays as I was between places to live. So I was there when the fires of Ash Wednesday came. My dad was in the CFS, my brother was elsewhere. And so I was left home alone with the dog to prepare for this fire. Wet hessian bags around the house, water in the gutters, hosing down the garden, and the car ready to go. I don't actually remember what was in the car. I think it was photos mostly, because there was, believe it or not, no mobiles and computers back then. I know, it's a shock. There was probably some memorabilia and a few framed photos. We were lucky. The fire stopped about 200 metres down the road that way. And on another front, it stopped at the bottom of the bottom paddock, about 300 metres away on another front. But others weren't so lucky, losing lives and homes. You may know people yourself that are impacted by the 1983 fires or others. But we can only imagine the decisions that are made at a time like this, the choices and the priorities that we make. There are things in our lives that are far more valuable to us than tables and chairs, china and glass, equipment, clothes, books. Can't believe I just said books. I love books. But all those things that we collect in our lives, we discover where our priorities actually lie. You know, the teacher of the law asked Jesus a question a bit like this. And I need to pause here because we've just heard next week's Bible reading. So remember the Bible reading for next week, and we'll get Gary back to do it again. So this one, and you'll see most of it up there, so it's not an issue at all. But the teacher of the law asked a question that's an important question. What is the greatest commandment? They're faced with a whole volume of Jewish law that's really, really important to them. Which one really matters? Which one will you grasp in a moment of crisis? And what is the significance of that? In this passage, Jesus and his friends, his disciples, are travelling from a place called Capernaum to Jerusalem via Jericho. Now, they stay in a little place called Bethany, just out of Jerusalem. On the Sunday, Jesus has entered Jerusalem on what is known as Palm Sunday, where people laid their cloaks and their palm branches on the road as Jesus rides in on a colt. He enters the temple for the Passover celebration, together with many tourists, pilgrims. Now, Jesus stays in Bethany just out of Jerusalem, and he just does these day trips into Jerusalem each day. On one of those days, Jesus overturned tables in the outer court, of the temple, due to the injustice of sellers selling animals to sacrifice at excessive prices. And as he does this, he catches the attention of the leaders of the temple, not surprisingly. So when Jesus returns the next day, the chief priests and leaders are ready for him and they're trying to trap him. He attracts a bit of a crowd wherever he goes, but he answers these questions well. He gets the attention of the leaders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, this rich elite group, and to the Jewish people at the time, this lineup of leaders was everyone who is anyone. And they weren't happy. And yet, more and more people gathered. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Now, the teacher of the law was a scribe, a legal expert, extremely well educated, a religious scholar. Perhaps we could say that the teacher of the law today would be a lawyer. Now, this lawyer is very impressed with Jesus by his answers. Now, most teachers of the law don't like Jesus, but he's impressed, and so he asks Jesus a question: which is the most important commandment? It's a valid question because they had 613 different commandments and they were all important. This question was debated at the time. Rabbis would discuss this for hours on end. So which commandment is central? What is the most important thing? It's like, what is the meaning of life? What is the most important thing that directs our lives? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy, words that the people would have known. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the beginning of a prayer, the Shema, a prayer the Jews prayed twice a day. Everybody there knew this prayer. And if Jesus had started it, they would have been able to finish it. Jesus' words covered four areas. Heart, the core of a person. Love with your whole heart. Loving God with your whole being. Putting God first. Soul, considered at the time to be the whole person, your personality, to give yourself totally to God. Mind. Now, you might notice that mind wasn't in the Deuteronomy passage. Jesus added this. Our thoughts are important. Loving God with all our thoughts, all our understandings. This is what we think and how we think. This is everything. After the first service this morning, someone asked, why didn't Jesus add body as well? That we love God with all our body. I don't know. The next one was strength. Love God with all your strength, all our energy, all that we can physically do. So that's our heart, soul, mind and strength. That's everything. That's all that we really are. We're to throw our whole being into loving God completely, totally, absolutely, holding nothing back. And then Jesus continues with a second commandment. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So the lawyer asked for one commandment, but Jesus adds a second. And this one comes from Leviticus. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus' response shows that he agrees with the lawyer in that there is a greatest commandment. And that commandment is centered around love. Love God, love neighbor. That's the center of the Torah or the Bible as they knew it at the time. The center of all commandments, the purpose of living. It's the plan. It's the plan to follow Jesus. Two commandments are joined together into one, linked together by the word love. They're inseparable. Jesus said so. Our love of God is incomplete and impossible without loving others. It's easy to say we love God, and it might be easy to say that we love our neighbour, but it's jolly hard to put into practice sometimes, isn't it? So how do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? You know, there's so much busyness in our lives. Believe it or not, Christmas is coming. Sorry to have to do that to you. Now, there's all these end of year things. There are exams. Sorry to any of you studying them in the coming weeks. There's marking, assignments, deadlines. You know, where is the time and space for Jesus and for loving God? And where is the time and space to love others and to love our neighbours? Both the ones that we like and the ones that we may not be so fond of. You know, who is our neighbour? If we believe humankind is created by God, then every human is our neighbour. Even the people we like the least are also our neighbours. Every person in our day is our neighbour. As God created all humankind, so God loves all, and so we are to love all. What does it mean to love others like ourselves? You know, we know how to look after ourselves. We feed ourselves, we clothe ourselves, we make sure that we have shelter. Perhaps instead of acting serving ourselves, we're to actively serve others. But it's not one or the other, it's both and. And does this come to us naturally? I don't know that it does. Naturally, we want to take care of our own needs. We fit God into our schedule, and perhaps we'll love others when I'm available. And I don't necessarily want to love those I don't love or understand. And we prayed about that earlier in our prayers for others. But in Jesus' answer here, we see sort of a sense the need to live this out, to act on it, because love is a verb. Verbs require movement. Verbs require active participation. Love is more than an emotion. Love moves us. It's intentional. Love is the way of Jesus. And the lawyer recognizes the value of this. "Well said, teacher," he replied. It's bold for the lawyer to say this at the temple with other leaders, other lawyers all around him who don't like Jesus. This is the ultimate like on the Facebook post. He gets it. The lawyer understands that this is more important than any religious practices, greater than any religious observance. Loving God and loving others is more important than, more foundational to our faith, even than turning up to church every week. We are not to pay careful attention to ritual whilst ignoring justice, whilst ignoring love. Jesus replies to the lawyer, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Because love is the way of God's kingdom. Jesus is saying, "You're really close. You get it. You understand it." There's a sense here of take these words and apply them in your life. And so Jesus' opponents and admirers are left silent. Because Jesus gets to the heart of things. Don't be bound by ritual, but be bound to the heart of God's commands. Love God and love others. It's as simple and as difficult as that. Loving God and loving others is the filter for our whole lives. The first thoughts in the morning, the last at night. Love God and love others drives how we listen to God, how we look for God in our everyday lives, how we pray and worship. Love God and love others is how we listen to people, look out for others, pray for others, care for others, all others, those I care for and love and those that I don't, those I personally know and those that I come across in my everyday life. When a crisis comes to us as individuals and a community of faith, what remains solid for us? What do people see in us? Do they see wholehearted love for God and neighbour, or the mad scramble of everyone trying to save their own skins? Love God, love others. This is kingdom living. This is Jesus' way of radical love. Love God with our whole being, and loving neighbour, that is everyone, are completely connected. Not loving others is not loving God. So by loving God, I also love others. And when I love others, I demonstrate my love for God. Loving God is impossible without loving others. These commands start at the heart of our faith and life. Love God and love others is vertical as well as horizontal love. And it's as simple and as difficult as that. But imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine this church where love is always the way, where people that come see our love for God and see our love for each other and experience our love for them. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can come to you, that your grace and mercy help us in our time of need. We're sorry for those times we don't love you, when we don't love others, when we say, think, or do things that separate us from your love or from others. Thank you for your forgiveness through Jesus, taking our place on the cross. Lord Jesus, help us in our everyday lives. Help us to love God wholeheartedly so that others see our love. And Holy Spirit, help us in our loving. Show us how to love the people we meet at school, in our workplaces, in the community, in all the different parts of our lives, those we get along well with as well as those we don't. Show us all the neighbours in our lives and help us to live out love is the way. Lord God, help the love God and love others to be the filter of every part of our lives. Amen.